the Catechism of the Catholic Church, basing itself on the testimony of sacred scripture, tells us that faith is a gift from God. Now, at our baptism, God infused into our souls the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity. And those gifts and virtues remain in our souls so long as we stay in the state of sanctifying grace. You see, when we commit a mortal sin, the life of charity that God gave us in our baptism is extinguished. It's snuffed out, like a candle being snuffed out. But faith and hope remain in our souls so long as we do not commit sins against faith or hope. And that's good news, that we don't lose faith, right, when we're in the state of mortal sin. In fact, that's how God often works in us to bring us back through the sacrament of confession. But you see, our faith is different when we're in mortal sin than when we're in sanctifying grace. Because when we are in sanctifying grace, we have what's called a living faith. We have a living faith, a faith that's animated by God's love, by charity, and that's expressed through works of love. When we're in mortal sin, we have a dead faith. Now, the apostle tells us in our epistle that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You see, as Catholics, we do not believe in the doctrine of faith alone. It's not Catholic, and frankly, it's not biblical. We believe in a faith that's expressed through our love and works for God. Of course, our good works do not save us, but our good works are the fruit of our faith in Christ Jesus. And faith is born through an encounter with the person of Christ. When Jesus asks each one of us, "Who do you say that I am?" And so this weekend, I want to invite one of our parishioners, Mark, to come forward. Please come forward, Mark. And he's going to share his testimony of how he has come to answer that question that Jesus asks each of us. Who do you say that I am? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Father Nick. Good evening. My name is Mark Zarlingo. I'm a parishioner here at Our Lady of Loretto and a member of the RCIA team here at the parish. In light of the news we're hearing about, the scandals in the church today, I just wanted to share with you my experiences about coming back into the church after having fallen away for quite some time. If God can work miracles in my life, I know He can work miracles in your life and those of your friends and family as well. We just need to have trust in Him. I actually had a reversion and not a conversion because I was baptized a Catholic as an infant in October of 1977. My grandparents on my father's side, they were pretty hardcore Italian Catholics who would have expected nothing less than to have me baptized. My father, of course, he was raised Catholic, but my mother, she was raised a Lutheran. So I was actually a child of a mixed religious family growing up in the 70s and 80s. Although I was baptized Catholic and received my first communion, quite frankly, there was not a lot of faith growing up in my parents' household. We were the typical Christmas and Easter Catholics. I was sent to Catholic school for elementary and middle school and high school. My elementary and middle school, they didn't require us to attend Mass much, not regularly during the week, and they provided very little in the way of religious education. When I became a teenager, it was time to get confirmed. Guess what didn't happen? I didn't get confirmed. I didn't want to, and no one really encouraged me to do it. The bottom line is that I was growing up a lot like many of my friends and family. a Christmas and Easter-only Catholic that had very little knowledge of the faith and, quite frankly, not a lot of interest to learn. My focus was on myself, what I was doing for fun the next day, what toys, games, and activities would entertain me the most. Does any of this sound familiar? I'm not telling you this to disparage any particular people or institution. I'm telling you this because this all contributed to my lack of formation growing up, and it impacted my life significantly. It also will set the background so you can see how God can work miracles in people's lives, even for people who you'd least expect it and least deserved it. And that was me. Given this background, it's no wonder my college years were a complete and total disaster. But at the time, I thought I was living the best life ever. Academically, I was very well prepared for college. I went to CU Denver on a full-ride scholarship with no concerns about money. I coasted right through with minimal to no effort. I had a lot of free time on my hands, and it was spent boozing it up with the boys and at the bars, chasing girls, and watching a lot of sports while sleeping my days away, especially on Sundays. It all seemed very exciting at the time. In reality, I was a walking shell of a person. I had no faith life. In fact, I was practically an atheist. I would argue that God was something people made up just to make themselves feel better about death, dying, and suffering. I couldn't believe people would spend so much time at church on Sundays worrying about all that religious stuff when they could be doing so many other exciting things. And although I was seemingly having what seemed to be so much fun, I was secretly seeking meaning to my life, and I wasn't finding it in chasing girls and bar hopping. I needed and wanted something so much more. Little did I know or realize at the time, God had a very different plan for me and was working very hard behind the scenes. After a couple of years of this lifestyle, I met the woman who would eventually become my wife. Before long, we had our first son, even though we weren't married. He's 17 now, and although old enough to understand, so I'm comfortable in telling you this, and I'm comfortable it won't hurt his feelings when I say that his arrival in my life threw a huge, massive wrench. This was the first direct intervention in my life where God said, I'm going to put an end to this self-seeking, pleasure-loving, self-worshipping lifestyle that you have managed to create for yourself. And it's time to get real. In hindsight, God started moving the chess pieces of my life, and he made a really big move right there. But of course, at the time, I did not realize it. However, I did realize I needed to be more responsible because I recognized I had someone else I needed to take care of now. I enrolled in law school, and my wife and I decided to get married at the local courthouse in a 10-minute ceremony that cost me $25. We also had our beautiful second daughter, Emma, about this time, who has been such a blessing. But I was ignoring God's role in all of this, and I failed to see that he was continuing to move those chess pieces and setting me up for a much bigger move. One night in 2004, I had a dream, and it was the clearest, most real dream I've ever had up to that point and since. I was standing outside of a large building, what looked to be like a church, and a young woman dressed in white, brilliant white, walked up to me as I was standing on the side of the street next to this building. But before this beautiful woman came up to me, and this beautiful woman did come up to me, and she took me by the hand, and she looked at me directly in my eyes, and she had these most amazing brown eyes that pierced me to the core. And it's hard to describe, but she didn't say a word. She took me by the hand, led me up the stairs to this building, and then she was gone. Once I was in this building, it was a large half-circle shaped assembly area with what looked like to be an altar in the middle. Seats were surrounding it and people were piling in. At that point, the dream ended. But I woke up literally sweating. I had never had a dream so real or so powerful. I couldn't figure out who that woman in white was. It did cross my mind that she might have been an angel of some sort, but I wasn't sure. And it did cross my mind that the large assembly area was a church building. But again, I just didn't know. But for whatever reason, that dream rocked me to my core. If you're expecting me now to tell you that I ran down to my local Catholic church, said my confession, and I've been going to Mass ever since then regularly, you would be very wrong. I am a very stubborn person. But it was at this point that the desire to return to the Catholic Church was sparked by the Holy Spirit, and that flame grew in my soul for the next 4 years. In 2008, we moved back to Colorado, and at that point, I asked to speak to the director of RCIA at my local parish at the time, because I was ready to do what I never did before, and that was get confirmed. So I signed up and began the RCIA process. And my wife, who was born into a Methodist family, definitely not practicing herself, she decided that she and the kids would come with me. So to make a long story short, within 2 years, my wife and I completed the RCIA process together. Both my children, at the times ages 7 and 10, they received their sacraments of initiation, confirmation, and First Communion. And trust me when I tell you, there is nothing like watching your children get those sacraments of initiation at the same time together. Nothing. But we weren't done. We needed and desperately wanted to get our civil marriage blessed. We did that with the convalidation ceremony where we have our vows renewed. And we received the sacrament of matrimony before the church. So we now had a sacramental marriage. We are also blessed with our third child who is now attending kindergarten this year at Our Lady of Loretto. I never realized how active and intentional God was working in my life until one day when I was playing around on the laptop at the kitchen table. I was playing around in a program called Google Earth, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. But Google Earth, it allows you to see street level views of different places around the world. And I happened to be just looking at various religious shrines around Europe. And while looking at the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, I was using a street view and I couldn't believe what I saw. I recognized the street outside of Our Lady of Fatima shrine as the street I saw in my dream in 2004. At this point, that was about 10 years earlier. The street, the trees along it, everything was just as I saw it in my dream. And sure enough, right next to the street was a large building, which happened to be one of the buildings at the shrine. I couldn't believe it. And as I studied more about the Fatima apparition, I realized that Mary had appeared to three shepherd children in 1917, and she did so wearing white, just like the woman who appeared to me in my dream. I never realized that Mary had worn white, not brown or blue, but only white when she appeared at Fatima. There isn't time to go into this original apparition, but I can tell you that I now have a very strong devotion to Our Lady of Fatima because she changed my life forever. Yes, it was Mary who rescued me from my shallow existence and set me on the right path, a path I'm still walking. I can now clearly see God moving those chess pieces in my life. I am much more aware of God's constant action and participation in my life every day. Whereas before, I didn't even believe he existed, let alone give him credit for the amazing things he's done in my life. My priorities in life have shifted from seeking constant entertainment and worldly pleasures on a daily basis to partnering with my wife to guide and watch our family grow in faith while being an active part of this parish now, Our Lady of Loretto. In short, I have made Jesus and Mary the king and queen on that giant chessboard of my life, and that is where I find real joy and satisfaction in my life today. Although the culture of death and rejection of Christianity has been increasing for quite some time in our world, the importance of staying focused on Christ and the Blessed Mother has really hit me now more than ever in the last few weeks since the scandals and the headlines about our church. rather than be discouraged or cause me to question where I've been. It's just fueled the opposite in me. We can't deny the wickedness we hear about in the news or the darkness that seems to be surrounding all of us in the world right now. But where else are we going to turn? This is the church founded by Jesus Christ that has survived trials and tribulations for more than 2,000 years. And it's through the sacraments that he gave us and through this community right here where we're going to find strength and support in the face of all of this evil. So no, after I have seen what he can do and has done for me in my life, I'm not going to abandon Christ and his church now. I'm not going anywhere. I have seen God's active hand in my life, and I suspect many of you in this church building today can relate to it. If God and the Blessed Mother can jolt me out of my godless, secular lifestyle, a hardened, stubborn, know-it-all who was too smart to accept God's work in my life, I guarantee you, he can surprise you and your friends and family. God promised us that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Let's not abandon him now. Thank you.